Thanks for joining us today for our Monday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today we will be continuing our study in Exodus, so let's join Pastor Dave now.
Soon your trials will be over.
You know what's interesting here? Is that when he says, "Alas, O Lord God," because the angel of the Lord has already gone out of his presence. So now he's crying out to God, but the word Lord there is Adonai. And the word God, Yahweh. What? We have two Yahwehs here. One that's called Angel of the Lord, Angel of Yahweh, and one that is called here Adonai, Yahweh, Master Yahweh. For I have seen the angel of Yahweh face to face. Two different Yahwehs here. Two different Yahwehs here. Then the Lord Yahweh said to him, well, I thought the angel of the Lord departed. So now who's speaking to him? And whoever is speaking to him is not in visible form, not in / visible form. Can't see him. But yet the Lord is speaking to him, and it's not the angel Lord that is speaking to him. It is who he is talking to, O Lord Yahweh, O Adonai Yahweh, O Master Yahweh. Two Yahwehs here. Two Yahwehs here. But what does he say? He says right here, "Oh, alas, O Lord God, for I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face." Okay, what's he in fearful of? Well, because no one's supposed to be able to see God and live. He understood this. And so the Lord says to him, "Peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die." Why does he tell him that? Because that's what he's fearful of. Because no one's supposed to be able to see God at any time and live. Now, in Judges chapter 13, verse 22, we'll go to this in a moment, but I just want you to see this right here. It's on the screen. After Manoah and his wife have seen the angel of the Lord, he says, "We shall surely die because we have seen God." So again, time and time again, we see that the Jews understood that no one could see God and live. Jesus tells us in John 4:24, God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The Hebrew author says Moses saw God through eyes of faith, him who is invisible. In Hebrews 11:27, by faith, speaking of Moses, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy 6, he says, "I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep his commandment without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is the blessed and only potentate," did I say that right? Potentate? Thank you. I'm having a hard time with the word. Last night I really stumbled over. Potentate, which just means ruler, you know, monarch, King of kings, Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, which no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. Obviously, speaking of God, since mankind has seen Jesus in visible form already, Jesus walked on the earth and hung on the cross for the sin of mankind. So God is being spoken of here as being invisible. That is what has been said in all these verses. Yet we do read in scriptures, okay, Dave, if God is invisible, how is he also visible? Well, we're told in Colossians 1:15. Speaking of Jesus, Paul says, he is the image of the invisible God. Wow. We can't see God with our physical eyes for the simple reason that he is spirit, and he doesn't have a body, but he does show himself through the person of Jesus Christ, who is what? The image of the invisible God. In Hebrews chapter 1, go there. I want you to go to Hebrews over here, to Hebrews chapter 1. The Hebrew author makes this extremely clear as well. In Hebrews 1, verse 1, it says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, Jesus, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, meaning the ages. Jesus created the ages. God, through Jesus, created the ages. Who being, who? Jesus. Who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person. This is speaking of Jesus. Jesus is the brightness of God's glory. Nobody can illuminate who God is greater than Jesus. Why? Because he's the perfect representation of God. That's why. He is the expressed image of God. If God was to express himself and wrap himself in human form for us to be able to see who he really is, he did it through Jesus, the expressed image. How am I going to express myself in bodily form for mankind so they could see? Well, Jesus. That's how. Jesus. Jesus is God in bodily form. This is why when Philip asked Jesus, could you show us the Father? What did Jesus say? Well, in John 14, 9, he says, have I been with you this long? And yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? He is the perfect representative. He is the perfect light and illumination. He is God in visible form for you to be able to see. That is who Jesus is. And we can conclude then, if there's any visible form of God, then that's done through the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is also called a Christophany. A Christophany comes from two Greek words, Christos, which means Christ, and phanero, which means to be revealed or to manifest. Therefore, any visible manifestation of God in the Old Testament would be Jesus before he was actually wrapped in human form as he was born in the Virgin Mary. Now, this is really interesting. I'm reading a book right now called The Angel of God. And it's about this thick. And I'm learning all sorts of really cool stuff that I didn't know before. One of the things that I learned is that every time you see a visible form, okay, of the angel of the Lord, okay, or just angels, And it has the word man next to it, or men. It is the Hebrew word ish. Okay? It is the Hebrew word ish. But then, if you want to be able to see, ish is a Hebrew word for man, or mankind, okay? But there's also another word for mankind, and that is Adam. Adam. And so, quite often when you're going through the Old Testament, when you see man or talks about a man, it'll have the word Adam there for man, okay? Speaking of man coming from Adam and everything else. But when it comes to, and then sometimes when it's just talking about man or man and actual human beings, it's just the word ish, okay? But whenever it has to do with angels or angel of the Lord, it is always ish, never Adam. And the reason is because even though you're talking about the angel of the Lord, Jesus himself, angel of the Lord is only used in the Old Testament. You never see it happen in the New Testament. Why? Because when the angel of the Lord is wrapped in flesh, Adam, in the New Testament, you'll never see Jesus come down as the angel of the Lord after that. So every time you see angels or angels, it's always Ish. It's Ishman, Ishman. It's not Adam man, okay? Because they come in the likeness of man. And angels don't have human flesh like we do. And so they don't come from Adam, so they can't be Adam man. But Jesus is fully man and fully God, and later on will become Adam. But in the Old Testament, he's just Ish in the likeness of men. That makes sense? Yes. It did in my head. Okay. All right. Took a while. But all right, good. So we kind of see the one exception that God kind of makes himself visible, but it's a veiling visibility, and that's in Exodus 33. We will get to that eventually. But it's when Moses asked to be able to see God's glory. And that's when God said, nobody can see me and live. But I will do this for you. I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock. Okay? And so you can't see me, my full glowing. I will pass by. You'll just kind of be able to see the backside of my glory, and that's it. But you're first going to have to be hidden in the cleft of the rock. Well, I would submit to you, the rock speaks of Jesus. That you can only truly see the glory of God through Jesus. And we will get into that foreshadowing when we get there sometime in 2026. Anyway, let's go to Genesis 22. There he is, sucking me back into Genesis. Here we go. Genesis 22. We've already taught on this, so I'm not going to go into great detail. I just want to point a few things out to you. Then Genesis 22, verse 1, it says, now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham, okay? God, Elohim, okay? And he said to him, Abraham, he said, here I am. Now, verse 11, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. Okay, so here we see the angel Lord stopping the fact that Abraham stretched out and took the knife to slay his son. Now the angel Lord calls to him from heaven. So it's in verse 1, it says that God tests him and calls him to go to Mount Moriah, and that's where you're going to sacrifice your son. Okay, he does everything. He's about ready to sacrifice his son. And now it's the angel of the Lord that seems to say the exact same thing that God said in verse 1. And so you could see it here. Now it came to pass, and he says, Abraham. And he said, here I am. Same thing. Abraham, Abraham. He says, here I am. Okay, so it seems to be the same person that is calling Abraham here. And then in verse 12, it reads, and he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, Elohim. Since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. The angel of the Lord says, me. You haven't withheld your son from God or from me. So again, right here you have the angel of the Lord, Yahweh, saying that you have not withheld your son from me, Yahweh, and you do not fear that I know that you now fear God, Elohim, the plurality of God. And so again, he says, you have not withheld your son from me. Now go down to verse 15. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven. So this time, he doesn't see him at all. This is coming from heaven. He hears now the voice of the Lord that is the angel of the Lord. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven, so he's not physically in front of him, and said, by myself I have sworn, says Yahweh, Lord, because you have done this thing, have not withheld your son, your only son. Blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is of the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. So here in verse 15 and 16, the angel of the Lord, Yahweh, said, by myself I have sworn, says Yahweh. Now, the angel Lord Yahweh claims to have sworn to himself. Well, in Hebrews 6, we read, for when God made a promise to Abraham because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless you and multiply. He's quoting here from Genesis 22, 17. And he is saying, the Hebrew author is saying here that God made a promise to Abraham, and he, God, could swear by no one greater than himself. He swore, meaning God, by himself. Here the Hebrew author is saying the angel of the Lord, the angel of Yahweh, is God. Because nobody can swear greater than themselves. Well, I certainly can. There's certain people greater than me, and God is greater than me. So if I want to have the greatest pledge ever, I will swear by the name of God. Well, there's nothing greater than God. And so why would the angel of the Lord, the angel of Yahweh, swear to himself? Because there's no one greater than himself, because he is God. I want us to be able to grab hold of that. Only God can swear by himself. And so the angel of the Lord is God, one of the three persons of the Trinity, which I believe is Christ, the Messiah, God's Son. Now, go over to Genesis 32. Some of you remember when we went over this, how Jacob wrestles with a man who identifies himself as God in verse 28. But starting here in verse 22, it says, then he arose that night, took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook. He sent over what he had, which means they're now going to go and meet Esau before he goes and meets Esau, along with everybody else in his group was already sent over. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Again, I mentioned we went through this, one of the strangest things ever, that, you know, everything's moving along and all of a sudden a guy pops out of nowhere and they, you know, and WWF breaks out. And you're kind of going, whoa, you know, what's happening here? And why is this guy wrestling with them? And it's almost like there's a part of the story that's been left out, that this man approached Jacob and said something about his mother, okay? And then that cause them to kind of wrestle or whatever. But we don't have that. All we know is that this man comes out of nowhere and wrestles with him, Jacob, until the breaking of day. And it does look like the man wrestled with him. So this man is the instigator. You ever think of that? I didn't even bring that up last time. You know, as I was going over this the last couple days, I'm going, oh my goodness, Lord, you're the initiator of this. Well, isn't God always the initiator? Even when it comes to a wrestling match, okay. Now, when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, meaning Jacob, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So Jacob knows there's something about this guy that began a wrestling match with him, okay? There's something about him, and this guy can bless him. He understands this. And so he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. He says, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, meaning governed by God. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Wow. Wow, Jacob was pretty good. You know, as a wrestler and everything, okay? You have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. The interesting thing here is the word God here is Elohim, okay, is Elohim. Elohim is the plural form of El, which is God. So it's the plurality of God. Anytime you have im at the end of a word, it puts it in its plural form, okay? Elohim is a plural noun, and it's used both of the true God and also when it comes to false gods. So when we read in Exodus 20, verse 3, shall have no other gods before me, that word is Elohim. Okay, Dave, how do you know when it's speaking of the one true God and false gods? Well, you know by this. When Elohim has a singular verb or adjective, it always speaks of the one true God. And when Elohim is used and there's a plurality, okay, when it comes to the verb or the adjective, it's always speaking of false gods. So that's how you know. That's how you know. So here in Genesis 32, 28, the word struggled is a singular verb, thus knowing that it's speaking of the one true God. He is wrestling with the one true God. And he does pretty good. Now, I would submit to you, he's not using all his power and everything he could. And, you know, he's just, it's kind of like Princess Bride. You know, when the guy's wrestling with Andre the Giant and he's just kind of toying with him. He goes, no, I want you to feel good about yourself. You're doing pretty good. You know, that's kind of like what God is doing here with Jacob. Well, you're doing pretty good. You're struggling. You're doing pretty good. But obviously, he has it within his power to just, and that's why he just takes his little finger and goes, doink, like that. And he goes, oh, you know. And so again, this is speaking of the one true God here. Then Jacob asks, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he says, why is that you ask about my name? And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I've seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Wow. Wow. Oh, here's another example here of Exodus 20, verse 3, of that gods in the plural form being false gods because it's a plural adjective. You will have no other gods before me. You will have no other is actually one word, and it's an adjective, and it's plural. It's a care. Okay, so that's how you know that is false gods. Okay, so here we have the one true God, Elohim, in the plural form, which supports the Trinity. So who in the Trinity is manifesting himself here? Again, I would say the second person of the Trinity, the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, Jesus. So what Jacob has here is a Christophany. He has an appearance of Jesus. Jesus is wrestling with him as the Son of God. But as we've seen in Exodus 33, John 1:18, and so forth, no one can see God at any time and live. So again, this is a Christophany, must be. Okay, so Hosea 12:2, we read this. It says, the Lord also brings a charge against Judah and will punish Jacob according to his ways. According to his deeds, he will recompense him. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and in his strength he struggled with God. So Hosea the prophet, as he's being moved by the Holy Spirit, speaking for the Lord, as this is being written down, also gives confirmation that he struggled with God. Yes, he struggled with the angel and prevailed. Again, equating the angel and God as one and the same person. He wept, sought favor from him. He found him in Bethel. And there he spoke to us. That is the Lord, Yahweh, God of hosts. The Lord is his memorable name. You should have that underlined in Hosea, okay? The Lord, Yahweh, is his memorable name. That is a name we are to remember God as, Yahweh. If God wanted us to remember him and call him something else, he would tell us. But he tells us right here, that's the name he wants us to call him, Yahweh. That's his memorable name. That's his memorable name. Let nothing ever separate us.
Well, that wraps up this Monday edition of Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love. Be sure to join us tomorrow as we dive deeper into our study in the book of Exodus. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Childcare is available during all our weekend services. We also have a midweek study on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. At the same time, our kids' ministry runs Awana. And for young adults, our Arise ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30, right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. We appreciate you spending time with us today. Until our next time together, we encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.